Chapter 12. Move. Abersford to Kernford. Once Joseph acquiesced to the inevitable, he figuratively stepped aside to avoid the juggernaut named Mara Kolsko-Keelan and her sidekick for this purpose, Petter Kenrick. Although the rotund, red-headed hetman's advisor might not have looked like a man of action, he was a whirlwind organizer. When paired with Mara, even in her increasingly gravid condition, the two of them swept aside all obstacles they encountered. Josef had imagined himself involved in an orderly progression of their household and prioritized projects moving to Kernford over time. But progress went so smoothly that he left details of moving their household and relocating workers to Mara. Kenrick assured them via semaphore that he would handle securing property for a new industrial park in Kernford, and the groundbreaking for a new house was underway. Josef occupied himself by focusing on his shops and projects. All existing production factories would remain in Abersford. Ether, alcohol, paper, soap, kerosene, gunpowder, and musket cartridges. New factories would be established in Kernford, if not already operating via previous production expansion, such as those for paper, soap, and cartridges. All development projects would move to Kernford as soon as expedient, except where key workers wouldn't or couldn't make the move. Josef broke the news of the move to Alien and Brock Fawn when he called them together one afternoon.
Brock and Alien, I want to let you know Mara and I will be moving to Kernford in the next few 6 days.
Brock took the news impassively. Alien put a hand to her throat, and her eyes widened.
Mara and I would like you to come with us and continue working for the Kolsko household in Kernford.
Alien looked sideways at Brock. Her husband didn't hesitate to reply.
I'm not moving. Abersford is my home. When will you want us to move out?
Josef wanted to ask what kind of home they would move into, because when he first hired the couple, they lived in a lean-to behind the candleworks, having lost their small farm due to low prices for farm products since the Narthani blocked off island trade. However, he didn't ask, knowing Brock was prickly about being independent and not receiving charity.
Hell, where are they going to go? Back to another shack they put together, Josef thought. That won't be necessary. The move might not be permanent. And even if it is, we need a place to stay for times we return to Abersford for visits. Therefore, the two of you can stay here, maintaining the grounds and the structures.
Josef detailed projects he expected to be completed, most of which he hadn't thought of earlier, but he intuited that there needed to be enough work to keep Brock active. The elderly man appeared satisfied and went back to whatever work he'd been doing when called in.
Thank you, Josef,
gushed Alien once Brock was out of hearing.
I would come with you, but Brock has lived his whole life within 10 miles of Abersford and is set in his ways. He is not in the best of health either, so it's best if we stay here. Thank you for letting us remain in the cottage.
Josef waved off the thanks, already thinking about who would maintain the getaway cottage on the coast west of Abersford, where he and Mara had spent their honeymoon. Providing for the Fawns also allowed him to procrastinate indefinitely about whether to sell the house and the cottage. The last 6 days in Abersford blurred with activity. Saying goodbye to everyone took a major portion of their time. The Bainhams hosted an evening at the Abbey, where testimonials choked Josef more than once. What was said varied with the speaker. Sistian on Josef's arrival and impact, Dira on his initial condition and adjustment, Brother Fitham with kindly words, Medican Bolwyn on the first use of ether and other medical innovations, partners in trade, workers, and recipients of new medical treatment. Although most of the guests were Abbey staff, A notable exception was the Merton family, which included Bronwyn Linton, now Merton Linton, and five-month-old Aragorn. Yosef and Bronwyn's affair had lasted 2 months and ended amicably. Subsequently, Bronwyn had given birth to their son Aragorn, and she married into her sister's family nearby, after Yosef mentioned the possibility, multiple wives being unusual but not prohibited by custom or the word. Yosef had planned to take most of a day to visit the Merton farm, despite the crush of time before leaving, so the Linton family's presence at the Abbey affair let him hold and play with Aragorn for almost an hour. He deflected a query on the origin of Aragorn, recalling the naming day when he was called on unexpectedly to name the new baby, and the first name out of his mouth was from Lord of the Rings. He also remembered and relived the wonderment of publicly acknowledging his paternity of a child in the cathedral with the mother now married to her sister and her husband. And he did this with his currently pregnant wife at his side. And no one, including Abbot Sistian, thought anything unusual. The evening at the Abbey ended with laughter and tears, some of both from Mera and Yosef. After leave-taking, they walked home, slowly, for Mera's sake. "Are you sad to be leaving Abbotsford, Yosef?" asked Mera. "I confess, more than I expected. And you know how reluctant I was at the idea. This is where I first adjusted to being cast on Cadellium. The Abbotsford area is home more than any place I've ever lived, even more so than the three houses my family lived in where I grew up. By the end of the evening at the Abbey, I already felt homesick, and now am a little melancholy. While I know the feeling will pass, yes, it's hard for me." "It's hard for me also," said Mera. "More than I expected, even though in a sense I'm moving back home. But it's the home of my childhood. Not of our time together. Abbotsford was where we began our marriage, where we conceived our child, and where I felt I was involved in the daily lives of people more than in Kernford, where I was the headman's daughter. But I won't lie, Yosef. As much as I'll miss Abbotsford, our first home, and the people, part of me is drawn to Kernford. I'll see my family again regularly, and I confess I miss being around the center of clan activities, where I attended Boyerman meetings as Father Scribe, edited and made suggestions on his correspondence, and felt in the middle of where decisions were made. Not that I haven't been more than busy here, but with involvement in Abbotsford affairs and helping you." They walked the rest of the way in silence, holding hands, and both, in their own ways and minds, coming to terms with their lives' new paths. They had politely declined invitations for social occasions in Abbotsford, including a proposal by the town's mayor to hold a major farewell event, their excuse being the press of time and preparations. However, most of the same guests of the mayor's planned affair attended a night at the Snarling Greco. Carnegie laid down the law.
"Forget it, Yosef. Kuwait and I have already arranged the evening. The pub is reserved for that night, and everyone likely to want to be there has been invited."
Yosef and Mera gave in, not wanting to dash the only social event Carnegie had ever been known to plan. They arrived by carriage this time. Mera wouldn't be drinking, but she wasn't sure what Yosef's condition would be later. Kuwaith, the Snarling Greco owner, had outdone himself with the abundance of food and beer. Yosef never inquired who paid for the largesse. Although the intent was to hold the event inside the pub, word spread widely. Most of the populace of Abbotsford showed up, and a spontaneous fair spilled into the streets,
with the other pubs moving their night's business to support the snarling Greco. It was a night to remember. 2 6 days after the decision to move, a wagon convoy left Abersford, composed of a carriage from Mera and Yosef and 2 wagons of possessions. They took only what they couldn't readily replace in Kernford, such as pieces of furniture made by Diefeld Fuller, Filton's father, and an excellent furniture maker, and their growing collection of books, mementos, and clothing. A 4th wagon contained gifts from individuals and families throughout the Abersford area, along with a few possessions of Balwas and Carnigan, who came with them and rode their own horses. Seabiscuit walked along, tied to a wagon, along with a carriage horse given by the Mertens. They would live with Mera's parents until workers finished a house of their own. Yosef groaned when informed of the initial arrangement, and it took time for him to explain the jokes among his people about married children returning to live with parents. "Okay, Mera, it's logical we live at the Keelan Manor until our new house is ready. But why don't we use one of the guest cottages? That way we'd have more privacy." He hadn't expected his question to gain much traction, and his prediction was correct. "No," said Mera, in a tone implying that further discourse was useless. "My old quarters in the manor are more spacious than a cottage and more convenient to the rest of the manor and my family. I'm also sure we can arrange a workroom for you where you can continue your writings and other planning." Yosef swallowed a feeble protest, recognizing the futility of mounting any counterattack. After a long day's journey, they reached Keelan Manor outside Kernford, as the last of the sun's light faded behind the eastern mountains. Merid, Mera's youngest sister, served as the lookout at the entrance to the manor's drive and ran back to the manor to announce their impending arrival. The Keelan family waited on the veranda, and the women engaged in an orgy of hugs and tears at Mera's return and oohed over her swelling. Mera proudly allowed strokes and pats. Even Kalish beamed at his eldest daughter and enveloped her in his arms as soon as an opening appeared, although he ignored Mera's offer to feel the location of his first grandchild. Yosef, initially forgotten, was eventually recognized, first by Kalish and then by the females of the Keelan family. The affection showered on him made him glow inside, even as he felt uncomfortable at more effusive demonstrations than he'd experienced in his own family. They settled into Mera's old rooms. Their clothing and a few belongings found places on shelves and in closets and chests, while staff unloaded the rest of their possessions into an older, seldom-used barn. By the 3rd day, Yosef had appraised the progress in establishing new workshops and factories in Kernford. His concern that his workers' families get proper accommodations and aid in finding permanent homes was assuaged, as Mera handled everything. She recruited the St. Tomo's abbot to encourage the citizens of Kernford to make the newcomers feel welcome and do everything they could to help find housing, be it temporary or permanent. Progress on the house impressed Yosef and didn't need his attention. The day after they arrived in Kernford, he and Mera visited the construction site, only a 30 miles from Keelan Manor. They met the lead builder, went over the plans for the house, and made adjustments for their specific needs and wants. College had picked out the location before the wedding, and basic preparatory work had begun before the Kolskos made the decision to move. The builders said the Hetman had placed the house as a priority, and the builder had pulled in workers from other projects. He estimated completion in 1 month. They gave him the go-ahead. And in another 6 days, the site went from staking out the house's position to progress on the roof trusses. 3 small cottages were included in the construction plans, one to be used by Carnigan and Balwas. Carnigan also had accommodations at St. Tomo's, and Balwas somewhere near Kernford. The 2 shared duties with Y4 Kales, so that one or more of them remained near Yosef and Mera at all times, along with their other duties, such as helping train Keelan men. With all of the activity, Yosef shunted aside thoughts of Abersford, except for feeling occasional regret in his few idle moments. Yosef and Mara ate meals with her family in the manor, and the warm, familiar setting was welcomed by her and appreciated by him. With the house plan out of mind, Yosef returned his focus to various projects, especially those on weapons. He had to return to Abersford to check on progress, oversee packing, and in some cases, alleviate his worry about workers burning or blowing up buildings, themselves or others. However, before he could leave to return to Abersford, Hetman Keelan once again changed Yosef's plans. He and Mara had just arrived back at the manor after visiting the site of their new home. Yosef felt so encouraged by the progress, he reflected with satisfaction that they wouldn't have to live with the in-laws any longer than the six days of an Anyar month. His mood changed when Kalich called him into a private meeting.